Maroney's Own Radio, the award-winning view and interview show with your host, Jeff Roney. All right, this is Jeff Roney, and we are now in the Roney Zone, and I've invited a good friend of mine who we haven't spoke in a little while, and her name is Ann Johnston Brown. Hi, Ann. How you doing?
Hi, Jeff. Very good, thanks.
Now, you know, most of the time when you grow up with folks, it's kind of a dicey discussion, but Ann picked up the phone, and she's been really cordial, so I don't think I hurt her too much, you know. So sometimes you don't remember the...
During childhood, oh. Jeff, I'm okay. I got over our childhood.
Okay. You know, it is, you know, it's just you say silly things. Well, anyway, I did, so... Anyway, it's great to finally get you on the phone.
Yeah, you too.
And I want to kind of start just in general to kind of get things going with, if you could describe yourself with five words, what would they be?
Well, five words. Determined, devoted, stubborn.
You've always been driven, which is kind of the same thing. And you have so many talents. You really do. It goes without saying that you've always been really involved with different things. I remember good friends with your brother, Joe, and you sang the national anthem at a ball game.
Oh, I've sung the national anthem at many ballparks.
There you go.
Dodgers, Lakers, Angels, everywhere.
Now, that's a tough song.
Yes. You got to know how to start low enough.
Right.
Yeah. You got to be aware of that. We've got some, we've even saved clips on TV where people started too high.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother, that's probably her favorite thing on earth to watch is somebody who started the national anthem too high.
Well, and the one thing, I mean, what's it like to step out there in front of all those people, where's your head at? How do you keep from going, I'm in front of thousands of people? But how do you do that?
I don't know how not to do that. I have never been nervous before in front of people.
Okay.
And I know that sounds kind of like, how can that be? But I've not been nervous before. I mean, I get excited, or maybe I'll doubt, maybe, oh, am I prepared? But that lasts a minute or so. I did, but I don't get nervous in front of people. So I've performed in front of 45,000. I've performed in front of 10.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, it's harder to perform in front of 10 than it is 45,000 because they're really paying attention. 45,000 are, you know, like it's Dodger Stadium is what I'm thinking of. They were all still mulling around grabbing their food, you know. But 10 people, they're watching everything. But I just don't get nervous.
Mm.
I do get nervous over other things, but not being or performing in front of people.
Well, your family is scary talented. And I remember distinctly one time when you and Joe were singing a song. You guys were sharp, but you guys were sharp in... a note below. You guys were out of tune, but within a melody area, and it blew my mind that that you could do that.
We sometimes purposely sing off tune, and then when we don't purposely do it, that's when we don't even want to know about it.
Yeah.
We actually, my brother and I, and well, my whole family, but especially my brother and I, we probably get our biggest kick. I mean, we could just entertain ourselves all day singing off tune.
Mm-hmm.
We just think it's funny, and you know, it's aggressively funny, but it's still funny, you know. So that's how we entertain ourselves. And usually it's operatic. So it's not just regular singing. It's singing off tune, but operatically.
Well, the one thing that I've always really enjoyed about your whole family is just the fun you guys have. I mean, it is infectious, you know, because Joe will kind of start with this, well, I don't know about that. and then you kind of pick up and say something else, and then the whole place would just start laughing. It was just...
We're just crazy people, though. Well, I think it's kind of warped. Our favorite movie is Three Amigos.
Okay.
So I think once people find that out, they know we're kind of oddballs.
Well, the thing, too, that I really enjoyed is that you guys were involved in church, and you brought the fun to church. And I want to thank you for that, because sometimes there's no fun in church. And thanks for that.
The more, I guess, the more current style is loosening up. You know, the current trend is a looser kind of more, I don't want to say liberal because that's got a connotation, but a looser kind of feel to services. But back when we were kids in the dark ages, things were more conservative, more stoic, more rigid. And my father, who's also just crazy, literally, he you know, brought in, I think, to our church when we all were there, he brought something kind of more freeing, you know. And my brother and I, of course, being his children, we rode right along with that, you know.
Well, I remember distinctly that your dad really thought out of the box, and I mean that in a good way.
Oh, yeah.
He had a group of they dropped in with I think out of a plane, and they all had parachutes, and they all landed in this small little, I would consider it small, parking lot of our church.
Well, and he did that he didn't do it every, but tried to do it as often as he could on July 4th.
Right.
You know, and the last couple times he did it, we actually held the entire production. And we had a very large parking lot considering the size of our church.
Sure.
But we had this area, and yeah, they had a target, and they would jump out of that plane. We would all watch them, and rarely did they miss. Mm. But they did once.
It was, you know, you guys kind of really held a special place in my heart, because I think there was, you know, church to a lot of people was a very, you know, made to go and just a real kind of a downer. And, you know, I think sometimes people can get $1 million and then they would also have something to complain about. But
of course.
You know, you guys really made it a lot of fun, and so I definitely kind of wanted to give a picture of, you know, who you were and your family. Yep. And
we've always been in ministry. You know, I grew up in ministry. When I say I grew up, literally that's all I've known is some form of music ministry. That's mostly what we did. My dad did speak. He was what I guess you could call a preacher, but evangelist is what he was. Mm-hmm. But my whole life, that's all it was centered around, one form or another of music ministry, and it continues. I mean, I have never, ever stopped music ministry. Mm-hmm. I've produced probably since I was in my, I've been married now over 20 years, and in my marriage, we counted that I've done a dozen gospel albums. Mm-hmm. And so it's you know, but I usually give them away. I don't really sell them or anything unless I do a concert. But, you know, that's a ministry, and it's continued, and I'll never stop.
Congrats.
But it was rooted in my childhood. So, you know, I have to give, you know, a shout-out to my parents.
Mm-hmm. Congrats on 20 years.
Thank you.
Okay. let's kind of talk about – we kind of talked about your different talents for singing and that kind of a thing. But let's talk about writing a little bit. Mm-hmm. When did you kind of realize that you could really create a story and write?
Well, writing, you know, this is the thing. A lot of people are like, oh, Anne, you do so many things. It's not that I do so many things. I call all of this the creative arts, singing and painting, which I also paint, and I did all the illustrations for my children's book. All of this writing, all of these things to me fall under the same large category, and are interconnected. So I started writing. I had my own little local newspaper when I was only, I think, 11. I started a little local newspaper where I was writing about what was going on in the neighborhood, and I enjoyed that. But, you know, a lot of people say, well, then why didn't you grow up to be a journalist? And I think it's because I do love to write, but I loved other things more. And for instance, you know, music. And then once I became, I was in my 20s, and I said, you know, I think I'm going to check out this whole musical theater thing. And that's when I majored in theater and got my degree and then became an equity actor. I mean, that kind of evolved in my adulthood. But music has always been the number one. But writing's been in there. It's been there since childhood. And so when I became an actor and I was working with kids in musical theater, because in musical theater there's a lot of kids in most of the traditional shows, I realized that I needed to write a book. Mm-hmm. To help some of these young people know the ins and outs of theater without having to major in it or go take any extensive classes. So I wrote a book called The Ten Commandments of Theater, and it got published pretty quickly by Smith & Krause. Smith and Krause is the second largest publishing company for theater arts books. And so they published it, and then it was from that I said, well, let's just do another one. But this one I knew I wanted to do just, you know, crazy children's book, just total fiction, in fact, I did it very Seussish kind of style. I say Seussish because it's got a verse. It's in verse, but there's no meter, things like that.
Sure.
So, you know, but yeah, this has been a part of my life forever.
So your newest book is called The Chronicles of Pleasant Grove.
Right, it's my children's book, and actually it's been out for 2 years, but I self-published it, so it's been out, I say, for 2 years. It's been off the printing presses, but it's been one of those slow processes where, you know, when you self-publish, it's always new. It's always new until it becomes famous, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, kind of encapsulate the story to kind of give folks an idea.
Well, The whole premise of the book is around a dog, and I know kids love stories about dogs. And I did not mean to write this book. This book was so accidental. I started to write poems about a dog, and it was going to be a golden retriever. Her name is Annie, and I did this in honor of my papa, my papa who used to live in Dallas, Texas, before he died. And I wanted, this was about 7 years ago that I started actually writing this. But I wrote these poems about this dog who had an owner named Papa. And the dog was Annie, which is my name, which my papa called me Annie. And so I wanted it to be our relationship, but through a man who lived at the turn of the 20th century and his golden retriever, Annie. And next thing you know, I put him on a farm, and next thing you know, there's lots of friends. It's anthropomorphic, so the animals talk to each other. And so I wrote these poems. And I had probably 30 poems, and I illustrated all the poems with pictures and all kinds of things. And then I realized people don't go and buy books just with poems like that. They want to buy either a novel or something that has a story to it. These were just indiscriminate poems. They were about little ideas. And so that's where it all came from. But anyway, her name is Annie. She's a golden retriever. She has a best friend, Benny the Mouse. And the whole idea of this book is about good versus evil. It's about when bad things happen or people act badly, good people are gonna be victorious. And so the good always defeats the bad. The second chronicle, it's three chronicles, Journey Out of Pleasant Grove, and then I have my second one, which is kind of controversial because I call it The Witch of Pleasant Grove.
Okay.
But she's not a witch. She's just a very bad person. I want to say she's evil. She's got some, you know, she lets Satan run her life.
Right,
and
right.
So we have Annie and Benny, you know, of course, they are instrumental in bringing her to justice. And so it's called The Witch of Pleasant Grove. And then the final chronicle is Return to Pleasant Grove. And that is where Annie falls in love with another dog. He's a Siberian Husky, and you know, but all throughout the chronicles, there's lots of mayhem, and sometimes crimes are taking place, and Annie and Benny have to solve the crimes. It's just full of adventure.
Well, it sounds, you know, it's interesting that folks don't write stories like when you mentioned Charlotte's Web, you know, to anybody, they go, "Oh, I've read that."
Yeah.
It's interesting that there are not stories that are timeless anymore.
Right.
To me.
Right.
And this kind of has that same kind of air of, you know, this is not just another kind of throwaway story. So,
well, I like to say about this is if Dr. Seuss and E.B. White got together and wrote a book.
I see. Okay.
Because it's got that Dr. Seuss-ish, like I like to say Seuss-ish. Yeah, I know that's wrong, but it's got that Seuss-ish feel
right.
to the actual verse. But it's got that Charlotte's Web thing where you've got the farm, you've got the, you know, now Papa or the humans in my books. Aren't necessarily very involved with the animals. They are there, but the animals really are the central focal points of the stories. I forget the little girl's name, and I can't believe I can forget this since I've read the book a million times. But Charlotte. Charlotte. Who am I thinking of? What's the girl's name? But anyway, in Charlotte's Web, the little girl, she's very instrumental. So anyway,
so you've got three books in the series. Written them all, or are you writing Return? Have you written all the books in the trilogy?
Yeah, and they're not books. They're what I call them a chronicle. So it's one book.
Okay,
and in that one bound book. It's three chronicles, so it's like three large acts, or three large chapters. But in those chapters are individual, sub chapters. So each book or each chronicle has 10 chapters, and so there's 30 chapters in the entire book, which is the Chronicles of Pleasant Grove.
Now, it is definitely a book that you can purchase. Is it also digital or?
No, it's not digital. I do have my audiobooks on my websites. I have three websites, one for each of the chronicles.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I say websites. They're MySpace pages, but I'm thankful for MySpace. They make it very convenient.
Yeah.
And because I made the music pages, when you go to each of these web pages, all 10 of the chapters. Can be heard. You can hear them all in order.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you can download them too. I have them all available for you can add them.
Perfect. Great.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, the book, when I sell it, you know, personally, I sell my books for $10, but through Amazon, you can also buy it. And I think they're selling it for
$12.95. Now, I'm not trying to twist your arm, but I'm just, have you considered doing it as an audio drama?
An audio drama?
Right.
What is that?
Okay. It's people actually kind of acting out the book.
Oh, I think that would be great. I've never even heard of that. Acting out a book with animals?
Yes. So you could, for your chronicles, right?
Uh-huh.
You could have maybe, if you wanted to have somebody read the intro to the story, and then as people understand that these are animals talking, then you could kind of cast it as a play, record the parts.
Well, yeah, you know what? I actually kind of did something like this. Because I do all the children's festivals.
Okay.
The children's book festivals. And what I'll do is I'll have the kids come up, and I have puppets. And they put the puppets on their hands, and they act out the characters while I'm reading.
Great.
But I don't know if that's similar to what you're talking about.
Well, that's even more fun, though, because the whole puppet sitting around telling a story. I mean, that's kind of bringing the old story with the family kind of back. So that's fantastic.
Right. And the kids love it. And, and the book, I mean, I've sold a lot of the books, and I've given away more than I've sold. But it seems to do well with the people that... or with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, and this isn't unfortunately, this is actually purposefully, and I didn't say this before, but one of the main reasons I wanted to write a book for kids between the ages of 8 and 12 was because of this, you know, obviously the technological revolution, all these things. Kids aren't reading as much. They're listening. Mm-hmm. They're doing a lot of listening, like to their iPods.
Right.
And they're playing a lot of video games. But the reading isn't happening, and I noticed that the vocabulary of some of our young people has begun to wane. And I felt like that I needed to, if I'm going to write this book about this Annie, the Golden Retriever, dedicated to my papa, I mean, there was a purpose for it originally.
Right.
I thought, if I'm going to do this, let's help kids' vocabulary. And so what I did was, as I was writing the book, I did not choose the simplest words.
Mm-hmm.
I purposely chose the words that were four and five syllables sometimes, that were the ones that were more obscure, that we weren't using in everyday life, but were still very important for kids to know the definitions of, because these are the words we use in our writings. These are the words we see in books.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because I did that, and I consider it an educational tool for kids, so that a parent can read this book to their 7-year-old or their 6- or 7-year-old, and then as they come across words that even the parents sometimes don't understand,
sure.
I also have an accompanying glossary.
Great.
So the glossary, actually, you can just look the word right up, and you don't have to go through a whole dictionary, because all the words that are maybe more difficult for even, you know, the kids, but especially the kids, but even the parents, they're just right there in a little handy paperback glossary.
That's so well thought out, but I would expect no less. So that is that's excellent. That not only is it a story, but it's also didactic in nature. So that
right, it's twofold, and I definitely have gotten more response, more than I have about people loving the story. I've gotten more response from parents about the fact that, you know, they're even learning new words, and you know, and then the kids, they're also, you know, benefiting from just the text, not just the story, not even, you know, not merely the story, but the text. So it's, and that was my purpose. You know, I wasn't trying to speak over the heads of kids, because really when you read it, it's not speaking over the heads of children. It is actually just using words that are going to make them go, I wonder what that means.
Hmm.
Actually, in many cases, taken in the context that they are given, you can figure out what that word means anyway, without even looking at the glossary.
Sure.
So, you know, it's helpful in that way, and that was my whole intent.
Well, I think when you can make learning fun, or make it part of an adventure, right?
Right. Exactly.
I think that's part of the goal anyway. But
right.
So you've published yourself. Good experience, bad, okay, fair. How did you like that?
Well, this is the thing. I've had the benefit of being able to compare being a published author with a major publishing company and self-publishing. And although having an editor for my first book and having, you know, the convenience of knowing that you know, they were taking care of all the business ends of it, you know, with regards to the ISBN numbers and barcodes and all the printing and all, that was a luxury. That was you know, reassuring. But I have to say that, you know, there's something that you feel like you've created a real product, something that you can be proud of when you do self-publishing.
Mm-hmm.
It's my baby. It's like birthing a child.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, the book that I had published by Smith & Krause, I wrote it. Yeah, I wrote it, and I sent them the manuscript. But that was it. I was done.
Right,
and
right.
So it almost felt like, granted, I wrote the book, but the Chronicles of Pleasant Grove is just like a part of me.
Hmm.
And I think that's a good thing. And you know, it's certainly, when you self-publish, you don't make a lot of money, but I never did this to make money.
Hmm.
I've done this just for, like, the things I've said.
Well, I believe that the internet and self-publishing and self-promoting and these type of things that has given the power back to people. And,
yeah.
You know, you have one of three things. I think it's money, money or time, the two things. And
right.
if you don't have time, then you got to pay money. But if you
exactly.
don't have money, then you got to invest a little time. But you can
right.
get it done. And
right. Right, and that's the thing. I it wasn't that I had a lot of money, but I know that there are some people that probably couldn't have gone some of the routes that I went.
Mm.
I did. I paid for certain things, you know, that
yeah.
I knew were I could have done otherwise. But sometimes, you know, it's easier to pay. pay.
Sure.
So, but at the same time, a lot of it I had to do it the hard way. And then you learn the hard way, too. That's why it's always good to go out there. And I read a lot before I dive into things. And mm-hmm. I bought a lot of books on how to self-publish.
Mm-hmm.
And I recommend that to anybody who's going to self-publish a book.
Any more stories? Is there a Harry Potter inside? Is there a Twilight in there? What's going on?
We're going to stop our interview with Anne right there, and more great stuff to come. It only gets better. So be sure to tune in next time and listen to part two of our interview.
There is no way we can do what we do on our own. So we often play promos and things like that, and we want you to check out these promos, but also take a second and check out these shows if they really seem interesting to you. We really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
For over 300 years, one story has captured the imagination of millions. One mythical journey has never been more real. A solitary life perseveres on the quest for truth. And though he travels alone, we stand at his side, for his story is our story.
This book contains the secrets of the universe. I'm cursed by a dark power that drains the life from me. That's why I must get to the Mystic City, where the Absolute can purge my curse and recreate me. It's the only way I'll survive.
Do you think of yourself as religious?
I don't know. I'm a man after the truth, wherever it leads me.
Religion is complicated and convoluted. You don't know what you're getting yourself into.
You'll run into many paths near this one while traveling. They'll be crooked and wide.
You have to learn to discern the truth. Sharpen your mind and do not be deceived.
A storm made of fire is coming, and this city will be destroyed.
There's a dark power at work here. This place is called the Swamp of Dread Gloom.
Come back to us, Christopher.
If you keep going this way, you'll have swords at your throat, dragons at your back, and in the end, death.
The choice is yours, Christopher. It has always been yours.
Spirit Blade Productions presents a reimagining of the classic tale by John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress. The quest begins at spiritblade.net.
Are you just watching?
Do you enjoy watching movies? The cool effects, the interesting characters, the explosions.
Yeah, you like the explosions, admit it.
Well, we do too.
But sometimes it pays to approach Hollywood media with a healthy dose of critical thinking.
Join me, Daniel Lewis.
And Eve Franklin.
As we discuss our favorite movies.
And share critical thinking for the entertained Christian.
So visit areyoujustwatching.com to subscribe.
And don't just watch.
Everything costs money. And we want to offer this to you. It's a support page, support.ronyzone.com. There's two ways that we would ask that you would help support us. One is just a PayPal link, and you can donate any amount you'd like through PayPal. The other way is to buy products from our other links to affiliates that we offer on that page as well. We really appreciate it. Everything costs money. And we want to continue to keep these shows free, so we offer this to you. Please visit our support.ronyzone.com page to help support us. Thanks so much. We appreciate it. Thank you for listening to Rony Zone Radio. Please visit our website at jrdonline.com. Rony Zone Radio is a proud member of the Christian New Media Group. You can find more information at cnmg.ronyzone.com and drop us an email at jeff.rony@gmail.com. Thank you very much, and see you next time on Rony Zone Radio.